Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, found on page 458 in the provided Bibles. This is a Psalm of David. Hear now the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please turn with me now to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 1 through 18. Once again, this is found on page 896 if you're following in the provided Bibles. John 10, beginning at verse 1. Once again, please give your attention to the reading of God's Word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. As we turn to Psalm 23 in our sermon text today, certainly many of you know it well. This is perhaps the most well-known psalm. Many of us have memorized it. It's something that we often try to instill and impart to our children. We sing it. We recite it. It becomes part of us. We know it well. But why is that? Why is this psalm the one that we know perhaps the best? There are so many encouraging psalms, so many comforting psalms, so many psalms that point us to our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our King on high. What is it about Psalm 23? Well, the 23rd psalm is an encouraging psalm about the Lord's care for his people. It has a particular character, a special quality to it. Of course, all the Psalter is God's inspired word, but the 23rd Psalm seems to strike a chord with us. especially in our time of need, where we can go to the Lord and understand His care, His comfort, His refreshment, His protection. When we see Psalm 23, we see a shepherd in whom we can trust. We have every reason to trust in Him, for the Lord provides for His people. And this is our theme this evening, that the Lord brings glory to His name by providing for His people. As we look at that main theme, we'll do so in 2 points, 2 major sections, the way the Psalter is divided. First, the Lord is a shepherd, but secondly, the Lord is a host. So first, the Lord is our shepherd, verses 1 through 4. Now, the Lord offers refreshment and protection and comfort to His people. These are nothing less than the covenant blessings that He promises toward those whom He calls. It's important that we recognize that. I don't know if I could stress that enough. Psalm 23 has been such an encouraging passage to believers, but it has even become an encouraging passage to people outside the church. People like to read this, and even perhaps unbelievers or people who grew up in the church but have gone on to reject the faith still find comfort in these passages, in these verses of Psalm 23. But we ought to note that David here is speaking of the covenant Lord, and His care and His protection, His provision is being poured out upon His people, His covenant people. This has been something He's declared throughout the ages. In Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7, the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Everything that is spoken here is wrapped within the covenant. Everything that the Lord is speaking to us and offering to us, everything that David mentions regarding the Lord's protection and care, must be qualified within the terms of the covenant. The Lord is caring for His sheep, His flock, not for the world in general. Even as Jesus prays in John chapter 17, His high priestly prayer, He says that He prays not for the world, but for those whom the Lord has given to Him. He prays for His sheep. He is the good shepherd. He knows His sheep by name, and they know His voice. It's an intimate bond. We see that in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times do we read verse 1 or hear it spoken? Have we recited it with our own lips, our own tongue, but yet we move over it so quickly we might not pay attention to all the words. See what it actually says. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice David says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not just that the Lord is a shepherd. There's a personal bond here, a link between the Lord and His sheep, David being one of them. The Lord offers personal and individual care for His sheep. Jesus speaks of that very thing in Matthew 18, where He speaks about His flock. He says He is like a shepherd. Imagine a shepherd has 100 sheep and 99 of them are safe and sound. But that shepherd will know if one is missing, and he will go out and he will find that one sheep that is in danger, and he will bring that sheep back into the fold. Jesus cares for every single one of His sheep. They know His voice, and He knows them by name, and He will not leave them behind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when I was much younger, this phrase, I shall not want, perplexed me. I didn't understand exactly what David was saying. I thought he was speaking about being some kind of a stoic or perhaps an ascetic monk. It was the picture in my mind of someone who would escape all worldly desire. He shall not want. He shouldn't have any desires for anything. But he'd be free from that type of life. And it didn't make any sense to me, especially when it is spoken by one who loved the Lord so dearly. When David says, I shall not want, he is saying that he will not lack anything. And many of us may have memorized this, I shall not be in want. He will not lack, for the Lord gives all that we need. The Lord desires to give you good gifts, and He pours them out upon you. You will not lack, you shall not want, for you will have. So what more reason should we have to then ask of the Lord? This is His desire to give good gifts to His children, to provide for His sheep. Why do we refrain from asking? Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. If we ask, we shall receive. If we ask from a right heart, from a good desire. James also says in James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. So when David says, I shall not want, does that mean that he'll have every single thing his heart desires? It depends. It depends on what his heart desires. It depends on if he is desiring out of love for the Lord and His law, if he has a righteous desire according to God's will, or if he desires from his passions, from his sinful passions. In Psalm 37:4, the Word teaches, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This is such an encouraging, comforting verse. There are two ways, at least two levels to read it. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. The initial reading we might give is that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then He'll give us the things that we desire. If we have a desire, then He will satisfy that desire and provide whatever we wanted. But there's a much deeper way to read this as well. Not in conflict with that first understanding, but it provides the character that, or it provides a proper biblical perspective on that first reading. And that is that the Lord goes much further than just asking what we want and giving it to us, as if we might inquire of someone else what they wanted for their birthday and then buy it for them. Rather, the Lord can go further than that into our hearts with His transforming power, His grace, and He can work within us so that He also gives us the right desires. He not only gives us what we desire, but He gives us the desires. He places within us, transforming us to conform unto His will so that we would desire the things that are good, that are right, that are noble, that are pleasing to the Lord and glorious. And therefore the Lord gives us contentment. Contentment with what we have from His hand. Contentment knowing that we have all that we need for our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now I wish my children had the same perspective that David has here, because they never seem to enjoy it when I make them lie down. But David, however, sees this as a gift of rest. He understands that the sheep here are blessed to rest in green pastures. Not on rocky ground, and not on a cliff, and not in a dry and arid place, but to rest in green pastures. They find comfort. They're satisfied. Now, Calvin suggests that this language may, in fact, refer to something called a sheepcot. sheepcots which served to cover and protect the sheep from the heat of the sun. And if that be the case, it certainly lends a perspective upon what the Lord does for us. For He withholds the things that are uncomfortable while also bringing us to refreshment. Holding back the heat of the sun and the parching effects that it might have, and leading us to green pastures and quiet waters, still waters. Have you ever tried to drink from a fire hose or a fire hydrant or perhaps even just a garden hose that was cranked all the way up? Well, it's extremely difficult. It's much easier to drink from quiet waters. And the same went for the sheep. If you led them to rapids, for example, they might not be able to drink from water that flowed so quickly. In fact, it may even be dangerous. But the Lord, as the shepherd, the good shepherd, leads His sheep to quiet and still waters from which they may drink fully and find refreshment. Verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Once again, another picture of God offering His refreshment and care. These paths of righteousness here signify straight paths that are easy for the sheep to travel upon. The shepherd makes the way clear for them. He guides them on straight paths. He removes the stumbling blocks from their way. In other words, the shepherd doesn't make his sheep bushwhack or move through the brush, but he clears the way and provides a straight path. It's important that we see here what he says just after that at the end of verse 3. Why does the Lord do all of this for His people? Sometimes we might be under the false impression that the Lord provides for His sheep because His sheep are so great and amazing and adorable. They're so worthy. At other times, we might think that the Lord just feels sorry for His sheep and He just cares for them out of pity. But here in verse 3, He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord does all of these things for His name's sake. It's His ultimate purpose, to bring glory to Himself, extending that covenantal love upon a people, demonstrating His characteristics, His qualities, His attributes, His love, His mercy, His loving kindness and faithfulness, His generosity. Focusing that upon His sheep, upon His people. Why? To demonstrate His character, to reveal Himself in the world, to bring glory to Himself for His own name's sake. The Lord cares for His sheep. He provides. This doesn't mean that the sheep will never go without trouble or that they will never have difficulties. At times, the shepherd must lead his sheep through ravines and dark and treacherous places. In verse 4, David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." This is yet another beautiful image of the sheep's trust in their shepherd. And while they pass through uncertainty and danger, the Lord is still with His sheep, and they trust in Him. Now, shepherds at the time carried a rod with them in order to strike down wild animals. We can read examples of this in 1 Samuel 17 and 2 Samuel 23. But the staff was used to guide the sheep and to keep them under control. So we see a protection from the danger out there, as well as a disciplining staff, a guide to keep sheep within the fold and to keep them on the path, protecting them from danger and harm within, perhaps from their own selves. God's people are secure. They are secure in His flock as they live under His care. But still, that doesn't mean that they will never encounter danger or that suffering will never come upon them. Some of you may have even heard these first three verses as they were read and as we've gone through them already and wondered how this could be true for you. Perhaps these first three verses don't feel like your own personal experience, but rather you're suffering. You're in a dark place. You don't feel like you are finding rest in green pastures or that you're partaking of still waters. Perhaps you are discontent, or you're feeling as if you're lacking. We need to remember that even if trouble should come, or we might even say even when trouble and suffering and pain and persecution does come, we should be confident in the Lord, as David is confident in the Lord, who is his defense, his rod, and his staff. They comfort you. God has not withheld anything necessary for a happy and a joyful life. He affords a peaceful and content life, not just on the good days, not just when everything seems sunny, but in all circumstances. Paul wrote about this in Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. What is that secret? What does Paul know that we don't seem to know? The very next verse, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Jesus, the good shepherd, who cares for his sheep, who provides for them so that they would be protected and guarded and kept, that they would be strengthened and have everything they need to encounter the challenges of this life in whatever circumstance. You could do all things through Christ, your good shepherd, who strengthens you, who cares for you, who protects you. You know, we know this psalm as the Lord is my shepherd. And that is the first verse. It's what we title it often, but we could equally say, the Lord is your host. And we start to see this in the very next verse. The Lord hosts a banquet. The Lord hosts a banquet that displays His justice, His goodness, and His mercy. We see it in verse 5. When guests would enter a banquet, the host would anoint them with oil. This was a fragrant, a symbol of honor. As that oil would be poured on a guest's head, they would be identified as a recipient of honor. That fragrance would waft through the air and go throughout the home or the banquet hall. And you would know that you had received this blessing. The host provides it, and the Lord offers this to His people. The overflowing cup here signifies the Lord's abundance and His generosity. Now you might imagine going to dinner and someone bringing out a very fine wine, and perhaps you may expect them just to pour a little bit into your cup. You might even be surprised that they brought it out in the first place. Perhaps in our greed, we would be willing to pretend as if we never had it, to not bring the finest of wine out, but to save it for ourselves. But here we can imagine that if the guest came out, we wouldn't expect them to be liberal or super generous with this fine wine, but to provide just a little, a taste, keep the rest for him or herself. Now imagine this host, though, takes that bottle and is so lavish with it that he or she pours it and pours it and pours it so that it overflows your cup, that it starts running all over the table, and he is just abundant with his gift, with his blessing. This is the picture of the Lord, where our cup isn't lacking and there isn't just a little drop in the cup, but it's overflowing. There is no lack. There's no want. The Lord doesn't merely provide our basic necessities, and neither is He stingy with what He gives, but our cup overflows. And this is true not just for David, but for us as well. Paul writes in Ephesians that we have every spiritual gift in the heavenly places in Christ. We have it in the present, in the heavenly places, in Christ. We have it now. But this overflowing blessing also extends to the life to come. As some people suggest that you may have your best life now. But the Christian, the faithful Christian, looks forward to a final resting place, to a heavenly banquet, to a consummate life and existence in the Lord's house with Him forevermore. And when we enter into that final rest, when we attend that final climactic banquet, we also will experience the victory over our enemies. For the Lord's justice will be manifest. It will be manifest. And His work, His battle will be complete. Consider here that the Lord vindicates His people before their enemies. David is anointed in the presence of his enemies. That table is prepared before them. And when the Lord returns, all will be raised. Those in the grave and those still living when He returns will be raised up. Unbelievers will be raised to bodies prepared for eternal punishment. And they will look on as believers are raised to imperishable bodies of glory. It all comes through Christ our Savior, the Lord who is the cup of salvation. He provides the victory. He brings the justice. And it all happens through Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one who sought out His sheep who were lost, who even gave His own life to pay for their sins, and who was raised up by the power of the Spirit so that they might have life in His name. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is our host. Revelation 7, 15 through 17 says, "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What imagery do we have there? Much the same imagery as the 23rd Psalm. The Lord has prepared this banquet for us. He does it to bring glory to His own name. How are you one of these people? How are you brought into this fold? How do you make your way into this banquet? It's through Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith in Him, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who gave His life, who laid down His life for the sheep, that He might take up His life again and bring us all with Him. The Lord, the cup of salvation. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Rest in Him and find your refreshment in Him. For God's glory. Amen.